praise God, that means you gave up all your old life and all things become new to you. You're going to be a new creature. You're going to go home and treat your husband or wife right. You're going to treat your children right. You're going to go home and pay up your old bills or try to pay them up that you beat somebody out of, because repentance also involves restitution. See, when John the Baptist was preaching repentance, he said, repent and make your path straight. Go straighten up your path. When Jesus was preaching to a tax collector named Zacchaeus in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, the first 10 verses, verse 10 says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his message at the house of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was a son of Abraham, but yet he was a backslidden son. Now here's what Zacchaeus did. Verse 8. He stood before the Lord and said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Praise God, he repented, he believed, and he made restitution. And I'll tell you, that's an accomplishment of grace that you don't see the great miracle of in this age that we're living much anymore. I'm reminded of a fellow one time in a revival. He was going on bragging about what he'd found in that revival. He said, preacher, I tell you one thing, I repented of all of my sins tonight. He said, except one. That's the way the average Christian in America is. You watch them and you found out they've repented, a few of them, but they're hanging on to one or two, and the ones they like, they wouldn't give them up. That doesn't get you in divine favor. We've got to confess our sins, but we've also got to give up our sins to follow the Lord. In Acts 3:19, the great apostle Peter preached on the second day of Pentecost. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted. See, the first step is repentance to God and then be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's first repent and then be converted. It's first repent and then believe on Jesus Christ to eternal life. It's first repent and then be born again. It's first repent and then have the divine nature, the new heart and the new spirit and the restitution, and then the joy and the peace and the love and the faith will follow that life close on the heels of a repenting sinner or a backslider who has lost the joy and the faith and the love of God in their hearts. We evermore look today for old time conviction to come upon our lost loved ones, upon our friends. We look upon people in churches, we wonder why they never feel shaken or stirred. They never feel disturbed, it seems, about their sins, their old life. They go on with their lying and cursing and stealing and smoking and drinking and committing immorality and having eyes full of adultery, and they just hung up on all types of aversions. They dress like the world. They running around on the beaches dressing nudely, exercising what they call their liberty in the Lord, when they're libertines that are not genuinely born again because they haven't repented. And I'll tell you, when we get repented, we're going to correct our lives. When we've been convicted, we're going to repent. But that conviction is something that's so missing today, it's rare. The Bible said it takes conviction to get us to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Let me tell you, it takes Holy Ghost conviction to even get us to the place that we want to repent. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, the great apostle Paul says, I want you to understand that no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And it takes the Spirit of God to draw us. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And that's the Holy Ghost conviction that must grip the heart of a man or woman, boy or girl, and put the fear of God on them. That'll cause them to change their minds about that wayward life of sin and begin to realize they're going to hell, and it begins to put a trembling and fear upon them that causes them to repent. You can look back at almost any of your lives as you hear this message today, to the point that you repented. And you can almost everyone could say universally, unanimously, it is because the Lord got me in deep trouble, and I come to a consciousness of the result of sin in my life, because sin don't only lead to hell. Sin leads to confusion. Sin leads to defeat. Sin leads to heartache. Sin leads to sorrow. Sin leads to nervous prostration, to death, to hell. Yes, it has it all. And I'll tell you one thing, it takes us getting to the place through Holy Ghost conviction that we begin to realize that path that we're on is leading us to hell, and we're going to pay for those sins eternally if we don't turn to God and put them under the blood of Jesus and hide them from that great day of God's wrath when the books are going to be open, and there must be an empty place there where our sins once were marked down against us. Praise God. As the song says, that old account must have been settled long ago, or it'll meet us in judgment and bar us at the door forevermore in that great day when we stand before the Lord to be judged of our sins. Repentance was indicated in the last two verses of Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be evil, good, or whether it be evil. Repentance is something you look at people, even in your own family. We have children. Every one of them are different. We look at our children, some seems like they're God conscious, and we thank God for it. They have a tender heart that can be touched. When you talk to them about the Lord, you see a tear in their eye. You see something trembling when you take a hold of them and tell them about their sins in their lives. Then others, you talk to them, you see no emotion whatsoever aroused. You see a hardness, a spirit of rebellion, something there that makes them sort of rise up and say no to God even before you can ever get the question to them. Jesus spoke of that in Matthew 21. In verse 28, He said, "What think you? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will.' But afterward, 'I will not,' rather. He said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. He came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not. He said, 'Now which of these did the will of his father?' They said, 'The first.' Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots shall go in the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him.' Who you think accepted the message of Christ and their prophets and the apostles? It wasn't the religious. It wasn't the church members that claimed to be Christians. It was the down and outers that looked up to Jesus as being the hope of the hopeless. Praise God. He said, 'And afterward, when you had seen these believing, you repented not that you might believe on him.'" That's the way it is today. You look at two people, they look almost equal in ability, in intelligence, in opportunity, in experience, as far as you know, and everything looks similar and very equal. But then when they hear the message of God, when they hear the message of repentance, that I've got to submit my will to God, I've got to give up my ways, I've got to let God come into my heart and take the stirrups, as it were, and the reins of my heart and turn and lead me, and I can't do what I want to do. And immediately, many times, it's a very quiet thing, but very deep. They just set their feet like a blue-nosed Missouri mule and just say like that, "Son, I won't. Just won't." That's all you ever hear out of it. Just won't. I won't repent. My Lord and my God. But Jesus said here, the publicans and harlots are going in the kingdom of God ahead of these that would not believe. Now, toward conclusion here, I want to show you something from the Lord. It just breaks my heart to think about this in Matthew 11. Jesus here in verse 20, he was upbraiding the cities where most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Lord have mercy. People didn't repent when Jesus Christ was on the earth. And he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And said, "I say it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, You're exalted to heaven, but you'll be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom. Can you imagine that? A city of fornicators, of perverts, lesbians, and homosexuals. God turned them upside down and destroyed them in an instant. He said, if I'd have gone and preached and done in Sodom what I've done in you,